The gift of the Holy Spirit, which each one of us has within ourselves now, is intended to be reflected in our lives, to bear fruit. St. Paul describes that fruit to be born in our lives in the 5th chapter of the letter he wrote to the Galatians. And he very carefully spells out the characteristics of the kind of Christ-like life we should have in 2 categories. One has to do with our own personal integrity and wholeness, inner peace, self-control, patience. The other category has to do with our relationships with other people, gentleness, concern, and kindness. Now Paul says that because of the indwelling of God's Spirit within our heart, that we are able to know what a good life is like. That we know in a new way what a really good life is like here for us. Now that's so important because today there are so many conflicting messages from television and the other advertising media. So many different kinds of models that we're not certain which one to follow. There's confusion and ignorance today in our society about what the good life really is. Perhaps you remember the scene from the play by Thornton Wilder, Our Town, in which the young girl, Emily, who has died, is allowed to come back from heaven to earth for her 12th birthday. And she's been looking forward to being with her family again for her birthday. But when she does return and when she sees what she had forgotten, it really disappoints her. It's one of the most talked about scenes in modern drama, but less talked about, but equally powerful, is the scene that follows right after. Emily goes back to heaven and expresses her disappointment of what she saw back on earth. And then she hears a voice responding to her disappointment that says, "Now you know. Now you know, that's what it was like to live down there on earth, to move about in that cloud of ignorance, to go up and down trampling on other people's feelings, to spend your time and waste your time as if you had a million years to live, and then always to be at the mercy of some kind of self-centered passion. Now you know, that's the happy existence you thought you had, that you wanted to go back to. What ignorance and blindness." Now when we people are filled with the Spirit, as we receive in baptism, as we have now the indwelling gift of God's presence within us, then that ignorance, that blindness of what really is a good life, that's removed. And we are given the power, through the presence of God's Spirit within us, to see and to know what God's life within us really is. The important operative word here is to know. It's not a dry intellectual term. To know in sacred scripture means what the Jewish people and the Christian early people meant. To know God in this sense means to know as Adam knew Eve and she conceived a son. To know someone as a total person, a deep personal relationship and intimacy that knows no bounds. That is what it means to know the Spirit within us. It is the same thing as saying sexual intercourse. The intimate, profound intercourse between the Spirit of God and the person in whom the Spirit dwells. And St. Paul says, since the Spirit of the Lord dwells within you in that intimate fashion, then you have the power, through that indwelling Spirit, to reflect it in your life. First of all, you should experience a deep inner peace, endurance no matter what happens, generosity and mildness, kindness and chastity, and not to be boastful, but rather live in the Spirit and be not jealous of other people either. Paul says we are to cast off the traces of self-centeredness, the ego. And when that is, over the long process of life, gradually destroyed, the ego center and the self-centeredness, then the emptiness that is created within us is able to be filled by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the risen Christ is the Holy Spirit. The Father sends His Son's Spirit within us. Three modes of the presence of the one God. So we have the power to know what Christ-like life is. But you see, knowing is not enough. That would be somewhat selfish. It is intended to be reflected and shared. It's like looking at a seed catalog in the springtime and seeing all the pictures of the kind of flowers and plants and fruit that the seeds are supposed to produce. We plant the seeds and wonder if what we plant will produce what the pictures say. It's something like the one line in a Broadway play where the heroine says, God never made a better woman than I am, but somehow I just cannot live up to it. Now, be you a woman or a man, our problem is to try and see ourselves within, to see the image within us as the unique, beautiful person that God intended us to become. It is a lifelong process of becoming, growing through the various stages of faith. And yet, even as we ask, can we do it? We remember all of the reassurance of Jesus given to us in Scripture. Over and over again, we are reassured that the living God does give us the power, the resurrection power to do, with the gift of the Spirit. We are not only able to know and to experience the presence of God, but also to accept the ongoing process of constant change. It's not a theory. It's not an abstraction. We have it within ourselves to become a whole person, a together person, a person for others, which simply means a Christ-like person. And translated today's language, it means to learn how to live the good life. The true disciple of Jesus Christ is that. And always remember, it is God who supplies the power. We supply the desire. The fact is, we are not even able to supply the desire. Alone we can do nothing. Even the Lord supplies the desire. So that is reflected then by how we live. Abba, Father, you are the potter. We are the clay, the work of your hand. You mold us and you fashion us into the image of Jesus, your Son. That's how we become the disciples of the Lord. I remember an incident about 30 years ago when I was studying church architecture in Western Europe and spent time in Switzerland particularly, because then it was a pioneer in contemporary design. One weekend I was staying with a family in a small Swiss village, and that evening they invited me to attend Vespers with them. When we arrived at the church, it was still twilight, and the family had brought a lantern with them, and I noticed entering the lovely old Baroque church that there were no lights in the church. Not that they weren't turned on, it was simply there were no lights. It was a very old church. So I kept wondering how the people could possibly read and sing psalms for Vespers in the darkness. I knew the family's lantern was not enough for the entire congregation because the church would be filled. But then I stood at the window and I looked outside and became aware that there were lights coming toward the church from all directions, like little fireflies flickering in the dark. They were coming down the streets of the little village, they were coming from across the valley and from the opposite hillside. I saw that the lights were lanterns held in the hands of each one of the families. And as the people came into the church, they filled it with light, so that when Vespers began, the entire church was glowing with light. And when the beautiful ritual was completed, I stood at the porch and watched the people leave the church with their lanterns, going back again into the village, up the hillside, and into the dark valley. And it was then that I realized and understood what church symbolically means, of people who have been refreshed in the Spirit, as we are in the Eucharist here, leave the church community and go out into the darkness of the world, bring the light of the risen Christ to others, take the rich fruit of the Spirit that they have received and been strengthened in, and share it with others that they reflected in their own lives. That is what Jesus means today when he tells the people to take the good news that sin is forgiven and death has been overcome. He says, take that good news and tell other people about it in the name, in the person of the Father and the Son and the Spirit.